Yeah, a very good evening to you. Happy Monday, and you're welcome along to another edition of the Terrace Talk programme. It's Ivan Hurley with you up until 8 o'clock this evening as we reach the middle of February, and plenty of talking points after the weekend that was in Gaelic Games and elsewhere across the world, of course, as well. Plenty of sporting action right across all the codes, and we keep you right up to date with everything between now and 8 o'clock with reviews and previews and everything else. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the programme, if you have any comments after the weekend, after Kerry's draw with Galway, or maybe the Kerry Camogie girls draw as well, do get in touch. 083 300 3300 is our text or WhatsApp number. You can call 066 712 3666, Adam taking your calls this evening, or you can email as ever 24/7 during the week. If you have any maybe long form comment or anything you want to get into the programme, it's terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Of course, we'll be chatting of Kerry's draw with Galway very, very shortly. We'll also be looking at the draws they were made for the 2026 Kerry Petroleum Club Football Championship. Some intriguing ties to look forward to as ever. Hard to believe the National Football League has hardly started and we're talking about the club championships again. The celebrations, I think, are still going on for three club champions, but we've the draw already done for this summer, which is great. We'll be talking to a UL student and another good Terrace Talk contributor, Andrew Moynan, of course. UL making a fantastic double in Croke Park on Wednesday and Friday with the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon, the first time the college has ever done it. Andrew's been following their progress along, and plenty of Kerry interest there as well. If you're into cycling, the Ross Talton, that's returning to the Kingdom in May. The route announced during the week, and great to see the Ross heading back towards the Kingdom. I think it was 2022 it was last in Kerry, so always nice to see Ireland's premier cycling race coming through Kerry, stopping off actually in the Kingdom in Rathmore. We'll be chatting to Gerard Campbell there of the Ross organising committee, and we'll also have an in-depth conversation with the Kerry Camogie manager John Madden. Of course, their Centra Division 2A Camogie campaign got underway against Laois in Killarney on Saturday. That one ended in a draw, but we'll chat to John a small bit about maybe last year's All-Ireland Final. Of course, got to the intermediate All-Ireland Final against Offaly, of course, narrowly beaten on that day in Croke Park, and to be fair, maybe another goal at the right time could have seen the Camogie girls win the intermediate All-Ireland. They'll have another tilt at that this year, so we'll just talk about maybe progress and the steps that have gone into maybe righting the wrongs of last year with John, and of course reviewing that game at the weekend as well. As ever, as I said, get in touch 083 300 3300 066 712 3666. But we'll chat Kerry Galway first. We're in the company of John Kennedy tonight, no Liam Broston. Just want to say we're thinking of Liam and his family at this time, and I suppose we'll be delighted to have him back next week after Kerry head to Croke Park. So John, we're lone soldier tonight. I'm sure there's still plenty of talking points we'll manage to get through without the expert analysis of Liam Broston. Look, a draw in the end, John. I think at half time, 10 points up, everyone was happy as Larry, but a tough second half, tough conditions. We talked about Ostensack Park last week and the factor it can be, and we saw a rip-roaring contest, to be fair, first and foremost.
Yeah, fantastic game, Ivan. You know, people queuing from 3 o'clock to get into that, and great atmosphere. Terrible conditions, you know, wind and rain. Underfoot conditions very good, and great credit due to this, the last one after the pitch. In great shape, but difficult to play witting against it, in fairness. It was one of those nights. The ball was like a bar of soap, but you'd have to say it was, you know, even enough for the first 15 minutes, and then, you know, David Clifford kicked into action. Keith Evans, very impressive. You know, Armin Heinrich doing really well. Killian Trant, and we had that comfortable lead at half time, and I don't think it was in anybody's mind that, you know, we could see what was going to happen in the second half. But yeah, you have to give credit to Galway. Let's not forget, you know, they lost Liam Silk before the throw-in. Yeah. Dylan McHugh was out, you know, and numerous others like Shane Welsh, Damien Comer, Killian McDade. Like,
you know,
a lot of big names out. But Pádraig Joyce has found a lot of new guys. They're fitting in well. And Matthew Tierney in the middle of the field, he was absolutely outstanding. He gave an exhibition, I thought, really, and played superb stuff. And the end, you know, was a draw, fair result. With 8 minutes to go, we were 8 points up. Mm-hmm. Tony Broston in possession. was it a foul? Was it not a foul?
Yeah.
The way that Paul Falloon was refereeing it, he wasn't given those frees, to be fair.
No, he wasn't.
You could argue that it was a free, but you know, we the ball went in and Hanlon put away a great shot. The kick out came over to the stand side. You know, a lot of players, a lot of bodies around there. The ball broke. McGrath won it. He took off on a solo run. We were wondering, would he give it or wouldn't he give it? He gave it to John Maher, who cut back inside and, you know, an unstoppable shot to the net and set the knee game on then.
Took the goal as well, John, didn't they, to be fair? Now Kerry took their two goals well as well, but really, really good work by Galway for all three of their goals, really.
Yeah, Galway are a footballing side, Ivan. They're very similar to Kerry. You know, they play some off-the-cuff football. You know, they have a lot of very good players and, you know, Maher coming back, you know, he got a great goal. He worked really hard for them as well. But I thought the work rate by both sides, the turnovers, I think the stat in the second half was the 17 to 15 turnovers. You know, I thought that's the work rate that goes into that, the energy levels that go in. And you'll have to say in the conditions, what a game of football. You know, people are saying today we left it and we did, you know, it's, I think Jack learned an awful lot. And two of the positives coming out of it was the display of Killian Trant.
Yeah.
Not known as a forward. Kicked 3 points, mm-hmm. but his work rate was excellent. Keith Evans, he's waiting for that chance for a good bit, to be fair.
Yeah,
we all know about his footballing skill, his ability, his pace, but he certainly did that the last night. He ended up with 1-2. So there was positives in those, and I thought Armin Heinrich, he's continuing to climb up the ladder, and you know, he's certainly, people are taking notice with his displays. Played really well the last night, and you know, he's certainly going to be in the mix when it comes to championship.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely. As we're talking about the young lads, we may as well stay on them. The Kerry forward line is probably one of the hardest in the country to break into, John. And you know, I've circled back to this point a couple of times, but it's this time of the year that it kind of makes more sense. But we talked about the injuries that we had leading into that Mead game last year and these group stages and kind of the panic over who'd play and could kind of. The bench was only starting and who was going to be on the bench. So having these lads come in now and impress while the likes of your, you know, I'm just going to name Paul Gainey, say Conor Gainey, for example, didn't. These lads are still out of the mix. This is the time to impress, and they did that on Saturday night, and the score tallies again, the 1-2, the 3 points. They're really going to give Jack O'Connor a small bit of a headache when the other lads are coming back maybe towards the end of this league campaign and into Munster, that hang on a second, we put our hands up here in the doldrums of the league in the early years when the ball was mucky and everything else, we showed you what we could do then. So a good headache maybe for Jack to have when the other lads are coming back in.
No doubt about that. It's a great headache to have. And you know, it's this is their Killian Trant and Keith Evans, they've been there involved last year. It's, we've said here before about Liam and myself, very difficult to come off a club scene into the setup, mm-hmm. and to break into the team. You kind of have to serve your time. You have to learn and you have to adjust. You have to build up that stamina and that fitness and then get the break. But they've done really well. And you know, they're certainly going to be, they're going to make it, you know, the competition for places when the lads come back is certainly going to be very keen. Mm. And we saw it last year. Liam Smith as well, you know, he mightn't have been eye catching with high catches around the middle of the field, but his work rate the last night, he left every ounce on the pitch. Mm. Certainly, he, you know, he didn't let the side down, worked extremely hard, foraging, doing a lot of stuff that isn't seen. But if you watched him off the ball, the work rate, and you know, he'll be gaining in confidence. And you know, he mightn't be mentioned today as being one of the stars in the game, but You, there's a lot of work that goes on behind, hidden work, running off the ball, mm-hmm. challenging, putting pressure on the guy in possession.
Yeah.
That's all part of it. Mm-hmm. And that augurs well for later on in the year.
Yeah, it definitely does. And again, the more minutes you can get into them while you're short-staffed, if you want to call it that, is hugely important. From a Galway point of view, Pádraig Joyce, I'm sure, was a fairly happy man heading back up west to Galway after the game, especially given his, you know, the youthful looking Galway side that were out, and argument's sake, if you put the two team sheets in front of us here, there's a lot more recognisable names on the Kerry one than there is Galway. He'll take a huge amount of confidence coming back from 11, 12 points down. It's at 8 points with 8 minutes to go to get in that draw. Potentially could have won it. Kerry also could have won it at the end as well, but I'm sure they'll take a lot of positivity going into the whole campaign as a whole, and if Kerry end up meeting this Galway team maybe quarter final or semi final, he'll be looking back at this game as well, I'd imagine.
There's no doubt, you know, he Sean Fitzgerald, Dylan McHugh, and as I said previously, Liam Silk were out, you know, and numerous players, household names, yeah, not there for Galway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he said in a post-match interview that you play with what you have.
Yeah.
And these guys are warriors and they're surviving, missing quite a lot. That has to be good. Similar to Kerry using new blood. But these guys coming in, they're taking the game by the scruff of the neck. Shane McGrath, wing forward, very impressed with him. You know, his work rate, he's running on the ball, kicked a couple of two-pointers, led off the goal to John Maher. Really impressive. On a night when he needed to. Mm-hmm. It's easy to play well when you're 10 points up. But when you're 10 down and you're looking for scores, you know, he kicked 5. Oisin McDonagh inside in the corner kicked 2. A great 2-pointer. You know, as I said, Matthew Tierney. They have Sean Kelly back. He was back around the full-back line the last night as a wing-back utility player. Galway will be quite happy. I'd say going back up the road, Patrick Joyce will be saying, you know, it looked bad for us. Similar above an Armagh. They got away with the win there. They didn't get the win in Tralee, but... A lot of green shoots, as Liam had said, in this game for Galway. And it just shows that when it comes to championship, he's going to have a lot of players at his disposal. And one positive thing from Patrick Joyce, similar to Jack O'Connor, he wasn't lamenting about the guys he was missing.
Yeah, just
there was no word about. He said about Paul Conroy, he's back. He'd been out a few weeks. Some of the guys that were back got injured, and he didn't know where they were. But he had his squad out, and they came down to the backyard, the All Ireland champions. You know, the tide was flowing against them, but they got a draw.
I suppose you mentioned Patrick Joyce, and we'll go to Jack O'Connor now again. Knows that he's missing, you know, quite a number of players in that Kerry team, and again, I suppose from that standpoint, John, obviously there's big games to come. Obviously the next two are Dublin and Croke Park and Monaghan in Killarney. So from his standpoint, is giving up a 10-point halftime lead, is that a worry for Jack at this stage? Is it still a case of where another point in the board towards survival in Division 1? What do you think will be the kind of review of this one in current?
I think he'll look at it, and they'll spend quite a time probably looking at the videos of that, and you know, getting possession at the vital stage, you know, after the scores in particular, the kickouts. You know, I think it's well documented today, Kieran McGeaney, what he thought of the kickouts. But this is the game we have now. You know, if there's nothing on, you have to say Galway, they tightened up on Kerry. There was no short kick from Shane Murphy. He had to go along. You know, it was anybody's ball in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
We got caught on a number of occasions, and I think this is something he look at defensively. Mm-hmm. We got caught on the wrong side of the man. It was catch up. And when the breaking ball came, you know, the advantage with Galway, they were on the run facing, we'd our back to the goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got caught on a number of occasions when Galway ran at us. It seemed to open up for them. And they got scores from that. So that's something to look at. But look, it's only February. It's still early, and I'd say he won't lose any night's sleep about it, but he'll still look at it, because it's certainly food for thought. And particularly gaining primary possession, it looked as if 'twas Joe O'Connor was the man we were going for. Galway copped that too, and they crowded out around him and broke the ball.
Yeah, there's always a sense of like kind of people wanting to hit the panic button today is the general consensus I've been getting and from what I've been reading. But you do have to remind it again, we are still in, it's the 16th of February tonight. It's so far away from a potential All-Ireland final in Croke Park in the middle of July. It'll be a bit warmer and everything by then. Those games in Aztec Park, by nature, end up being tricky. The crowd's in on top of you for both sides. It's, you know, wet, miserable. You know, the pitch, as you said, in great nick, but it's still February football. So it's just so early to tell. Maybe if you had a full strength Kerry team, if you had the 15 to start of the All-Ireland last year, you know, against a weakened Galway team, then there might be cause for concern. But both teams still experimenting, as you said, and it's... Look, it's still early days in this league campaign. There's still more games to come, and time to kind of maybe, you know, get things perfected before you head into a Munster Championship.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you look at how competitive Division 1 is. Indeed, all the divisions. But Division 1, hugely competitive. You know, who would have envisaged 2 weeks ago that Roscommon would beat Armagh.
Yeah.
Look at the score they put up. Roscommon were probably looked at as being one of the teams for relegation, with all due respect to them.
And probably should have got a draw out of us in Vissar Stadium.
And you look at it again, the no management team coming in, no St. Bridges player involved, and yet, you know, and I think the likes of Inda Smith is rejuvenated, you know, playing some great stuff. But it just goes to show there's no easy game. Similar to last year.
Yeah.
We went into the last game last year with two games to go. We were, could be in relegation trouble.
Yeah, you were the last day, I think.
And the last day, and at the end of the game, we were in the final, and we won it. That'll tell you.
It's looking likely to be something quite similar this year, John, isn't it? Already, you're looking at the couple of teams who might be kind of, you know, a couple of wins from the first couple of games already. I know it's hard to judge with X amount to go, but it's starting to weigh up and kind of say that this could end up being very, very similar, that it could be a right dogfight at the end to either A, be in the final, or B, get relegated.
There's no doubt about that, and I think it's look at Donegal. Last year, Donegal were in a similar position, 6 points after three games, and the Ulster Championship, this is what we feel, that it was the week after the league final, you know, they went through their bench, they didn't get to the league final. Neil McGee made a statement and after the game yesterday, there's a month this year, or is it 5 weeks, between the league final and the Ulster Championship. I think Donegal will be going for it this year.
Yeah.
And that will tell you, they're top of the table with 6 points. Could you say who will be in the final at this point in time? You couldn't really, because it's so unpredictable. But, you know, the next game, and we've said this before, the next game in Croke Park next weekend is a big game for Kerry. You know, because Dublin lose, they'll be in relegation trouble. If Kerry win, they're really in the hunt again.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Teams.
Yeah, it's that narrow, isn't it? It's nice and close to the top. John, we have to take a quick break. Plenty of comments coming in, and we'll get to them when we come back. 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp, or you can give the studio a call. You'll be through to Alan on 066 712 3666. But it's time for a break on this evening's Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley in the company of John Kennedy as we look back at the sporting weekend that was, of course. Plenty of your comments as ever coming in, and it's great to get the perspective of the supporter as well. We're only hurlers in the ditch at the end of the day. Afternoon, gentlemen. We could copy and paste text from the Roscommon game and aspects of Dublin last year. I have a few questions. The three-man breach by Galway's Malloy. He had the ball and he was interfering with play. Why wasn't this a 14-yard free? Secondly, both midfielders positioned themselves stand side for both halves, so Murphy was kicking to his left in the first and to his right in the second. Can I ask why, and why no variation? Galway came down with a makeshift team but bullied us. That is what was most alarming, along with zero, and I mean zero, return from the bench. It was a draw that felt like a defeat, but it was still a draw and a point won. It is only February after all. So I think the commentary there had a kind of a couple of different ones, and might have noticed a small bit towards the end of that. A couple of ones there. The breach, I can't remember that play in my head. John, does that ring a bell with you? Does that one?
The breach is that if it'll be brought to the 13-meter line if they're outside they're streaming outside.
Yeah.
And it's not, if it's interfering, it will. Whereas if it's not, it's a free from where it is in the middle of the field. And that's the difference.
Yeah, no, you had the ball. I think we're all getting used to these new rules.
As Liam said, if it's not, if it's a mistake, or if it's not intentional, that's up to the interpretation of the ref. But you would have to say, Ivan, about the ref the last night, he came in for a bit of criticism, but with the conditions, With the attitude of both teams to play football, there wasn't a dirty stroke.
No, there wasn't. No.
No, to be fair, the number of frees we spoke about it off air, like Shaun Shea had no kickable free.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it's a tribute, I suppose, to the Galway defence and how disciplined they were. But then again, I think if you listen to the managers and the management teams, there's so much video analysis now. If they looked at the video of the Donegal Kerry game, the amount of frees Donegal gave away.
Yeah.
And Donegal, actually, Neil McGee mentioned that, or Colin McFadden, before the game on Sunday. is that it's something they looked at, and they were very disciplined, again at the weekend. So it goes to show that you have to learn from game to game, and certainly Galway were very disciplined. But as regards the kick-out, I said that before the break, a lot of the kick-outs were towards Joe O'Connor. It was overloaded, and there was a lot of breaking ball, and, particularly when the momentum was with Galway, we didn't get many of the breaks. But that's the way it goes. When you're on top and you have the momentum, you'll win all those. But when you're on the back foot, it's difficult to win them.
Yeah. The comment that a copy and pasting text from Roscommon is probably true. It had the same sort of vibe about Roscommon, coming back at Kerry that time, when Kerry were, trying to think back now to how far Kerry were ahead against Roscommon. And to be fair, the buzzer beater won it for Kerry on that occasion. We could have had the buzzer beater again on Saturday evening. But it does draw comparisons, really. Our two home games have been very, very similar now in that. And hopefully, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we're playing Monaghan, we might have a bit more of a comfortable afternoon if it's Stadium.
Yeah, they're really competitive, Ivan, and very similar. Like the listener said there, we could have snatched it. I think it was Cathal Brosnan at the end, an acute angle. Couldn't blame him for missing it. If it had gone out, it would have been a great score, but it was almost an impossible angle. But, overall, when you look at it, you want to, I suppose, what do you want from the league if you get to the final and you win it? Brilliant. But you're looking at blooding players. You look at the number of players we have to come back in because of their commitments with the club, injuries wise, and so on and so forth. I think that, we're 3 points, we're in the mix.
Yeah.
But like the next two games against Dublin and Monaghan, they're going to be crucial in that, are we going to be in line and in a position to get to a league final, or are we going to be, is it a dogfight at the bottom?
Yeah, and that's the joys of the league. It comes and goes so quickly when the games are run off, the weekends back to back, and it might be 1 weekend off and you're on for three again. Carter says he's a Kerry supporter and thought all of Kerry frees against Galway on Saturday were strong. I presume you meant the ones that Kerry conceded, maybe on that one. A commenter asks, is there any late trains for the match this weekend? Irish Rail website says the last train from Dublin is 7:05. Don't know what they'd be adding special trains on for a league game. You'd imagine there'd be still a good Kerry crowd heading up to the course, but doubtful enough there might be an extra train. Might be one to give them a shout on that and see if there'd be interest. Usually Jerry O'Sullivan's the one feeling those questions, John, not me, about trains, everything else. But if you are driving up, and I would say this much, if you are driving up, the Kerry Hurlers are playing in Port Leash at 2:00. That'll give you plenty of time to get into Croke Park if you are hitting the road. A huge game against Leash on Saturday. So if you are travelling up to Croke Park and you might have the day for travelling up or taking your time or whatever, instead of going maybe around the shops in Grafton Street or whatever, pop in and see the Kerry Hurlers in Port Leash on your way up. It could be a crucial game for the rest of the year, because realistically speaking, Leash probably the biggest opposition that Kerry will be playing. So if you are, you'll literally be off the motorway into Port Leash, John, in what, 2 or 3 minutes?
Into
a Moor Park, and you're back out. It's literally not out of your way at all. Another commenter says they lost it at midfield, need to review this. Kept kicking it down the same place, and Galway knew and crowded it out. I think we've had that one well covered, John, in that one. Where else are we? Hi, Ivan. Something similar happened to Kerry last year against Dublin in Ostertag Park, and they lost that game, so wouldn't worry too much. Big leads are easier pulled back with the new rules, you can't relax. That's actually a good one from Charles, John. We've mentioned this before, that football's almost turned to hurling now, where there's kind of no lead, no big lead anyway safe, especially with your 2-pointers. Like a 10-point lead is only 5 kicks of a ball now. It's even less if you got a couple of goals, if you saw Galway. There is no lead safe, really, unless you're really a cricket score ahead at this stage.
No, there isn't, Ivan. And the new rules, we've said this before. Look, if you were 6 or 8 points up, park the bus, and you didn't concede a goal, you'd win the game. Whereas now, the 2-pointers, and there's one or two 2-point kickers in every team now. We saw it in the first half with David Clifford, 2 marvellous 2-pointers, which gave us daylight between ourselves and Galway in the first half. But look, you 6 or 8 point lead, 1 or 2 2-pointers, you're back in it, and when a team has the momentum, then they kick on, and it's always difficult when you're on top and the lead is slipping away and the team is coming at you. It's always difficult to counteract it and to get back on top again. And but I think that these games are invaluable. The intensity and the pace, the football that's played, and the the competition that's there within Division 1, it augurs well for every team in preparation for the Championship. You know, the Championship isn't that far away.
No, it doesn't belong to your own. The big game against Clare coming up, of course, in the Munster Championship. We got the fixtures out. What is this? The second last weekend in April, I think it is, the before the May Bank holiday. We were thinking the keeper might only have one leg for kicking, kept kicking the ball out left field when Galway kept winning and they were on top for our goal straight away. It was madness. I suppose a lot of keepers can be comfortable maybe on more than on the one leg for kicking as well. Another thing, nothing to do with the players, but why do people bring babies out to the game? In and out for coffee, obviously have no interest in the match and it's fierce annoying. Asking people to move so they can go in and out, just stay at home. Everyone to themselves, I suppose.
Well, it is. I'd say, Evan, it is annoying. I was at a rugby game recently down in Thomond Park as well. You know, and it's annoying for people that there's you have to get up and let them pass. But you know, on the issue of kids, it's great to see the next generation going to matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And you know, I give credit to anybody that took kids into Austin Sack Park last evening. Terrible evening.
Weather conditions.
Horrendous weather. A lot easier to stay at home and watch it on the television. But I'd agree with the listener, you know, it's so annoying when people are in and out, but that's part and parcel of it, unfortunately.
That's sporting events, isn't it? Yeah. Hi lads. Will you ask John what he thinks Tony Brosson's role is in his Kerry team? He's a top scorer for his club. His play is too slow for Kerry, in my opinion. That's from Pat in Clarny. We've seen flashes of brilliance from Tony Brosson, and as you said, definitely when he's playing for the Crokes. And we've seen it in the Kerry jersey as well. Just needs that kind of fine little turn, I think, in the Kerry team. Again, very hard to break in, so this is his time to show what he's made of.
Yeah, definitely up in Donegal. I think we showed he's some great kicking, as well as Shawnee Shea. You could say the same for Shawnee the last night. Were they nullified? Is it down to the markers that were on them? The amount of ball they got? Mm-hmm. You know, Shawnee didn't score from play. If you were told before the game the last day that Shawnee Shea and Rob Finnerty wouldn't score.
Yeah.
You know, that's a stat now that would alarm people.
Two of the best, the bookmakers,
correct,
say.
Two of the best kickers in the game. But Tony, there's no question Tony's ability, no question about it. And it's some days it runs for you, other days it doesn't. And I suppose, look, what a lot of people are talking about is he got caught in possession, as I said previously. Was it a free? Wasn't it a free? They got a goal from it and got momentum from that. But it's not down to Tony. It's not Tony's fault that we didn't win the game, you know, because he's another one of those top class forwards, and some of them have good days, other days you have bad days.
Yeah, and it depends who you're kind of marking as well, doesn't it? And how good of a job they do on you as well. Hi to all. Kerry are 24 years in Division 1. Jack O'Connor is walking a thin line and they could be going to Division 2 next year. They have two matches at home and that only brings them to 7 points if they win both of them. They won't stay up with 7 points as Tyrone had 7 points last year and they went down to Division 2. Kerry has two away games, so they have to win one or draw they have to win or draw to stay up with the 8 points. They played three games and they conceded 6 goals. They're going to Dublin next week, who many more of the Kerry boys are doing too much solo. They're not passing the ball quickly to one another. Tony Brosson had a poor game. He cost us 3 points. He overcarried and got turned over. Old City stuff with some of our players. They need to bring back all the experienced boys. They're having to work their socks off to stay up in Division 1. That's from Irish in Tralee. Sorry, that one got a small bit jumbled up on our system. Nice to get the long text in, but sometimes they get muggled up a small bit when they come through the system here. Hive Monaghan missed 3 or 4 golden goal chances and might have won it with at least one. There'll be no pushover in Clarny. That's from John in Coro. And interesting enough, we're actually playing both of those sides after their game in Croke Park on Saturday evening. John, it was a good contest between the two of them. Monaghan looked like they had it won, and Dublin came right back towards the end to win it. So neither, like, again, look, I think it's very, very simple to say that no team could be taken for granted, home or away, in Division 1. And I, you know, I'd like a broken record saying your home matches are key, but that's because you've got that sort of bit of a home advantage. And that's what I'm saying, when you go away from home, it can be very, very difficult. And we've seen that over the last number of years, trying to get results up the north and trying to get results in Croke Park and everything else in this league. So the home games are huge. And no matter if they're a pushover or not in Clarny and Monaghan, that's not, it's getting your points at home are so crucial, because no team is a pushover home or away.
There's no pushover in Division 1, Ivan, and that's, we've seen that not alone this year, we've seen this for the last number of years. You have to be, you have to hopefully, as you say, win your home games. Monaghan very unlucky against Dublin. I think Ryan McInnespy going off was a huge loss to them. Mm-hmm. You know, always a difficult team to beat, and coming down to Killarney, they'll relish that challenge as well. But look, it's one of your listeners was mentioned about the bringing back the players, and it's a valid point. But you look at this two ways. On one hand, you put out your best 15 every game in the league, probably win the games, and you get to the league final, and you learn very little about what your bench is.
Yeah.
There's no point in putting a guy on. Sorry, I won't say there's no point, but you learn very little putting a guy on for 10 minutes.
Yes, correct.
You need to put him in at the deep end. And I think we, out of the last day, like Liam often said, the green shoots, you know, was Killian Trant and Keith Evans.
Yeah.
Armin Heinrich did really well. Dylan Casey did really well. Great to see Graham O'Sullivan back getting game time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a switch that you can turn it and come back in. And certainly the same for the Dingle lads and for, you know, Dermot O'Connor and Paddy Clifford, all these. These will be integrated into the team, and hopefully we'll get enough of pints. I think at this stage, you know, the football we're playing, I don't think we'll be relegated. I don't, and that's look, with four games to go, I think that there's tough games to come. I think we'll see an improvement again next weekend on Kerry against Dublin. You know, huge game.
Yeah,
it's a four-pointer.
It's a massive one.
But that's what you want. That's what you want in preparation. Yeah. And I'd imagine that's what Jack and his management team want. You learn, you know, going in with a comfort zone. There's a huge difference going in having to win the game, wanting to win it. Mm-hmm. And I think that certainly, you know, some of the things that we didn't do well the last day, the breaking ball, the kick out, finding our man, you know, and that gap up the centre, there are some things that can be, that's within our own. We can control that and we can remedy it. And if we do, you know, we're not going to be far off.
I'd rather us talk about it tonight on the 16th of February, John, than talk about it in mid-June when we're out of the championship before a quarterfinal or whatever. Maybe, but you're definitely right, the young players. And I'd imagine we're at that stage where we're going to be looking at some of the lads starting to come back into the team, the fellows who might have been injured or got the longer break, whatever. We saw Mark O'Shea, of course, another man back, and you said Graham O'Sullivan. So slowly but surely, and then all of a sudden you'll just kind of see the team that won the All-Ireland last year and the bid for the 40th this year. Yeah, so kind of Division 1 in general, kind of have a lot of it summed up. John, obviously staying in that Division 1 is important. Division 2, our neighbours are quietly going about their business at the top. I wouldn't say quietly now, because we never hear the end of it with Cork, but 3 wins from 3, they're content.
They're moving nicely, you know, they're getting the results, putting up big scores, you know. Offaly did come back into the game the last day, but was never in doubt. And I think that John Cleary and his management team, they'll be very happy with the way they're ticking along. They have a huge game next weekend. I think it's in Parky Rain against Meath, a Meath side that were well up against Louth. And you know, a 2-pointer to win it at the end. And I suppose that was the big talking point of that was our own Brendan Griffin issuing 4 black cards before the game really started.
Big scrap.
You know, and it just goes to show that you'd have to give credit to Brendan, because it is very easy to give a few yellow cards and especially in a situation like that. But obviously he saw it deemed fit for a black and did give them.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, but it goes to show that the trend with Meath and Louth has continued, and Meath are on the upper curve as well, and that should be a tasty affair in Park Erin.
Yeah, and that'll be it bodes well for the Leinster Championship as well, doesn't it? And see, like Tyrone there in fourth, they're same as us, kind of a win and a draw as well. So a competitive Division 2. I had to ask you about the Cork lads, because we often hear when they're winning and not losing. So the phone's been kind of buzzing with a few Cork lads of late. McGrath Cup winners and now top of Division 2, could be a potential for a good tasty Munster final eventually if both Kerry and Cork qualify for that one. So one man we haven't mentioned and probably should have brought him up earlier really, John, is David Clifford. And again, you're sitting here, it just seems like normality again, and it's just so wrong on the man. But 2 2-pointers, I think it was 48 seconds, someone said the clock was on it, between the 2 2-pointers, and obviously getting the goal as well. He just oozed that class, and he saw, I'd imagine, that we had the wind, need to get up as much score before half time as possible, and to take the 4 points within a minute is just, it's simply incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, he's incredible. And you know, I think you're right, we expect it from David now, you know, and that tells you the calibre of the player he is. He's absolutely, you know, when he got the ball the last night for the second two pointer, you knew there was only one thing. He steadied, and what a kick. Superb score. Not just dropping over the crossbar, well and truly, you know, with plenty to spare. But I think, you know, as well as that, his vision, his anticipation of where the ball is going to be, I think that was summed up for the goal. You know, a high ball in, Eamon McGrath, you know, his debut for Galway in goals, and a night that was terrible for a goalie, to be fair.
Desperate, yeah.
He came for the ball. It probably hung that bit more. He lost it. But Clifford was there, and he just flicked it to the net. And
just being there was...
Being there. I think it's an example to young fellas, you know, to be in the right place at the right time. That's not luck. That's footballing brain. And David is... We're so lucky to have him. We've said that several times before. And, you know, regardless whether it's league, whether you're after winning a championship, whether it's club, David seems to be on he seems to be on auto all the time. He's just a scoring machine, and you know, we spoke about Rafael. He's scoring exploits, you know, at such a young age. It's an incredible achievement so far, and I think he's, you know, all going well for him, and fitness wise, and that he can stay healthy. That he's going to break many records before he calls time in his career.
Yeah, and breaking records he is, John, and this is courtesy of Paul Brennan in the Kerry Man. Clifford Gold takes him to win in 9 of Sheehy's all-time total, which is quite mad. It was his 20th National League goal and his 42nd goal across league and championship, and then he has to get to 51 by the end of the year to pass Mikey Sheehy, which is, it's just kind of hard to believe that you'd be saying that on this. And then he's currently on 414 points total for Kerry. He's 5th behind, again, Mikey Sheehy, who's leading 457 points. The Gooch, Morris Fitzgerald, and his teammate Sean Shea. So he's 414 points. You'd imagine that 457 isn't that mighty far off. He could break both this year. And you know, again, like for my generation, you hear the stories about the likes of the Mikey Sheehy, and you think that'll never be replicated. And now here we are, we're living in this generation. And I think, you know, in 50 years' time, God willing, that I'm still here to tell people the story that I was, you know, watching David Clifford in his prime. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's super. And, you know, there was an article by Joe Brawley in The Independent yesterday. I read it, and he said it was -9 that you're starting with, he said, when you're playing David Clifford.
I think probably not far off.
That says a lot, you know, and people mightn't agree with everything Joe Brawley says, but certainly that's a stat. And that's an incredible stat, you know, that you called out there. And when you think of Mikey Sheehy, the legend he was, and I was fortunate enough to play with Mikey, but Mikey was he was a scoring machine, and certainly David is another scoring machine, and you know, I wouldn't put it beyond him to break that before the season is out, as you say.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We have to go for another break, John. We'll come back and we'll chat the club game. Hard to believe it this time of year, but as I said, the draw's made for the Kerry Petroleum Club Football Championships, and we'll have a quick look and see what the maybe mouth-watering affairs are in the club championship this summer. 083 300 3300, plenty of your comments still coming in. Text or WhatsApp that number, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. As we mentioned before the break, the draw's made for the club championships upcoming again during the summertime. Senior John has kind of settled down now into our 10 teams. You've the group of four. We may as well go through these just in case people haven't heard them during the week. Dr. Crokes, Dingle, Rathmore and Spa, Group 1. Group 2, Kinmare Shamrocks, Templenough and Austin Stacks. And Group 3, Nigail, Ungueltut and Milltown Castlemaine. With 10 senior teams in the county, John, it is very, very difficult. And we can see the lure and the attraction as people going to these games. But that Group 1 is mouth-watering, isn't it?
Oh, it is, Ivan, you know, there's some, you know, I mean, Crokes, Rathmore and Spa, East Kerry, Dingle, All Ireland Club Champions, it's mouth-watering, you know, and it's you have to be in the, your toes to qualify from that group, and it's really so competitive. And you know, I mean, the club scene has just finished, you could say, and already we're looking forward in anticipation.
Yeah,
a fantastic senior club there.
Yeah, as you said, kind of between Crowsratmore and East Kerry and Spaws, the kind of East Kerry field. But Crows might want to do one back on Dingle after they Crows looked like they were heading for the Munster Championship, but Dingle winning the county, so maybe there's a small bit of a touch of a rivalry maybe appearing there. Ungaelted paired up with Nigail and Milltown Castlemaine. We've seen Nigail strengthen this competition over the last couple of years as well, and obviously Gaelted coming up as intermediate champions want to lay down a marker. Milltown Castlemaine will look to go, you know, a bit better than they have the last couple of years, given that relegation's back in for these teams as well. Be a big year for Milltown Castlemaine.
Yeah, big year, and you know they'll be hoping to improve from last year. Things didn't go well for them, but it was a transition, and you know they'll fancy, you know, if they get things in order, Nigail and Gaelta coming up from intermediate. Interesting to see how they'll fare out. And yeah. Nigail then, with a miss, was minus a lot of players last year. You know, Jack Barry back, among others, Stefan O'Cumber, if he's free from injury, they're always going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah. We'll move on to intermediate in just a second, but that kind of threat of relegation now is all of a sudden back, and we've seen big teams be in that relegation playoff before. I remember was it Crokes and Legion played in it a couple of years ago. We've seen how hard the intermediate is to win, and we'll go through the intermediate in a second, but that peril now is back after a couple of years. We haven't had it. You can kind of, you know, if you had a weak enough team, whatever, even at senior level, it kind of didn't matter. It's just disappointment maybe for your two games. But now the fact that relegation's back, it's only going to spice the thing up a small bit more, isn't it?
Yeah, because like before, if you know, the last game in some of the groups, there was really nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm.
But now, whether it is top or bottom, you're playing for something. You're playing for survival and you're playing for qualification, and that makes it even more keen. And that intermediate championship, you know, it's so difficult to call. The groups are so even. It's mouth-watering, really.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. The intermediate groups, again, just in case people have missed these over the last week, I think the draw was maybe was it Wednesday, or Tuesday night, wasn't it? Just before, just after we came off air, really. Fossa, Barry McCallaghan, Glenbeg, Glencar, and Guinea Gwilla. Kilcommon, John Mitchell's, Fieries, and Barry Donoghue. Group 3 then is Clarny Legion, Listowel Emmets, Long Rangers, and St Mary's. And Group 4, Cairns O'Rahilly's, Glenflesk, Beaufort, and Castleisland and Desmond's. I think the reaction has been that Group 4 is almost the intermediate group of death. But I look at the intermediate, John, and you kind of, any single one of those names, if they were to come out with the intermediate championship at the end of the summer, it wouldn't surprise me. Everyone's up for it.
Yeah, everyone's up for it. And like, you know, in Group 1 there, look at Guinea Gwilla. He's been mentioned, I think, throughout the last few weeks there, by Ungaeltacht as well, that, you know, they were unlucky not to come out of Ungaeltacht with a victory.
Mm.
And we saw what happened afterwards. You know, you look at Glenflesk under new management with Wayne Quinlivan. Ballydunhoe, new management with John O'Connell from Tarbert.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these, Listowel Emmets will be saying, you know, another North Kerry team, very unlucky against Kilcommon, out in Kilcommon, could have gone either way. So, you know, it's Lawn Rangers, you know, disappointed last year, under no management again. Will they get a kick and, you know, are they back in it? So there's so many imponderables, really. Could you call it now, who gets to the final?
Chance.
Not a chance.
And Barry McKenna get freshman All-Ireland run. Yeah. Why couldn't they?
Ali Mack, and we haven't mentioned Fossa.
Yeah, there you go. Like, Cairns O'Rahilly's, it's just the names are massive. And to be fair, like, any one of those teams, really, you'd look at those names and say they could be definitely a senior club in the county. It's that intermediate championship is fantastic, and there'd be about 16 teams hoping to come through it. On to junior premier then, John. Listroy, Aunascall, Tarbert, Ardfort is Group 1. Kiel, Waterville, Douath, St. Pat's. Then you've got Drummond Pearce, Coro, Churchill, and Brusna, and Group 4, St. Sennans, Ballyduff, Renard, Castle Gregory. Always a good kind of North Kerry feel around your area, John, in junior premier as well, but still plenty of teams that'll give that a good rattle.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, St. Sennans are a team that, you know, so unlucky against Ballymac last year. A lot of potential there. Killian Trant going really well, one of their leaders. You look at Douala, also a North Kerry team, they'll be hoping to kick on, but List Dry, Kiel, Ardfort, always so difficult to beat. Tarbert having coming up from one of the junior. You know, it's a Brasna real championship team as well. Mm-hmm. Castle Gregory, a lot of youth, you know, did very well in the West Kerry Championship. So it's it's so difficult, and in every group, you know, it's the first game is crucial though in all the groups.
It does, yeah. It sets you on your way.
It sets you on your way. You get that, you have the cushion of 2 points, and you know if you win or draw the next one, you'll probably qualify.
Yeah.
So, but if you lose, it's anything can happen, and that's championship.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And again, another, like, of all those junior premier teams, none of them would look out of place inside the intermediate championship. It's mad really how it goes. The margins are so close. That's why these games are so competitive. Finally, then, we won't forget the junior as well. You've got Group 1 is Cordell, Valencia, Young Islanders, St. Michael's, Fylemore and Sneem, Derry and Nan. Group 2, Moyvan, Ballylongford, Fanuig and Two Sist. Three teams in Group 3 then, Bale, Cremon and Lisbon. And Group 4, Scarta Glen, Skellig Rangers, Knocknagoshal and Kilgarvan. So again, I think, you know, to be fair, I nearly feel like a broken record at this stage. We've been nearly saying the same thing when these come around. We love the club championship, and that's why we love it. It's just you're looking at all those teams in each group, and it's very, very hard to sit down and say, right, this crowd will beat this crowd, this team will beat this team. It's just nearly impossible to predict them, and you know, a good majority of time, especially for the first games and the anticipation, and everyone's excited to get going after county leagues and everything else. Always very, very hard to call them, and it's even right down to the junior there. Very, very hard to pick out winners from these games.
Oh, very difficult to pick them out, Ivan. And we're speaking now in February, and this is on next August. Number of players that will be gone away, you know, look at, they're going through a county league campaign, injuries, what will the personnel be like? But you know, when you just have an overview of the junior championship, Beale beaten by Tarbert last year in the final, they could have gone either way. You know, they'll certainly be looking at making up for that and trying to get to the junior premier. Knocknagoshal, they were the talk of the county with their Narkerry championship run. Can they carry that on? You know, the likes of Sneem, Derry, and St. Michael's, Fylemore, will they and Cordell, you know, who'll come out of that group along with Valencia, so tight and so tough. Fanuig, you know, a team that have been improving under Reggie Gallivan, you know, a lot of young fellas again, another Narkerry team, and Lisbon, you know, always tough in championship. So it's you know, again, there's a It's the beauty of the Kerry Club Championship.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to pick. Even when you get to the quarter final and semi final stages, it's hard to pick a team then. Not to my knowing the group stages.
Yeah, not to my, as you said, it's a good bit away to be looking forward to it, but we'll be counting down the days for our Club Championship, as I said, always. So, and, you know, it does. It's a lovely one for the winter then when they go on into Munster and everything else. So we got great mileage out of our teams this year, right up to the middle of January. And then we're in the National League. So he hardly got a break this year, John. Time to wrap up. I suppose just a couple of more comments to get to before we finish up for the first hour. Evening, gents. I was at the match in Tralee on Saturday. Fair play to Galway for never giving up, especially in the last 10 minutes. Dublin will be an interesting one come next Saturday night. That's from Dennis and Kilnamartra. And we've got one more to get to. Hi, Ivan. Fair play to our Kerry referee, Brendan Griffin, the weekend, giving 4 black cards inside the opening 10 seconds of the Meadloud game on Saturday night. Great to see a Kerry ref in Crow Park. And that's from John Paul, a North Kerry listener. We touched on Brendan Griffin already, John. We mentioned the black cards, the incident, getting it right and everything else, but it's always nice to see a Kerry referee run out in Crow Park, especially at a national stage. We see Seamus Mulville doing a good bit as well with in the ladies game in particular. It's always nice to see Kerry referees doing well as well, isn't it?
There's no question about that. And you know, we've been involved there in games with Brendan and Seamus, and we've seen them, you know, the respect they have. And you know, I suppose the biggest tribute you could pay to any ref after a game is, you know, if we're not talking about the ref, he's done something right.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back to Brendan Griffin, I think, and I said it previously, it would be a lot easier not to give out cards at the very start, to pull them in. But he gave the 4 black cards. That just goes to show. Set the tone, no missing, job done.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it, he deemed a black card and did hand them out. And I've heard no criticism from either camp as a result.
No, there hasn't been.
And that'll
been,
just tell you then. So, you know, but Brendan is one of the top referees and you know, you see him in county championships, you see him in the various championships. You know, he's in total control and the players respect that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John, we're out of time. Thanks very much for popping in. I thought now the time would be longer to fill when we only got one fella, but we didn't do too bad. Kerry Dublin next Saturday evening, Croke Park, 7 o'clock. Lovely time for a throw. And I think the Dublin Hurlers are playing Wexford, if I'm not mistaken. Before that, so it might be a nice one to get to there. And as I said, if you can try pop into the Kerry hurling game in Laois on your way up to that. We've got plenty more coming up in the second hour, including Andrew Moynihan chatting UL. We'll have the Ross Talk. Dalton with Gerard Campbell coming back to the Kingdom, and we'd have an extensive chat with Kerry Camogie manager John Madden as well. They got their campaign underway on the weekend. Time to head for news at 7 o'clock, and as I said, we'll be back with weather and plenty more sporting action on Terrace Talk after we take the news at 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
You're listening to A Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Keep all your comments and views and texts coming in. It's great to get the interaction out of the Kerry game as always. 083 300 3300 is the text or WhatsApp number. You can call 066 712 3666. And as I say, if you are further afield across the pond, across the world or whatever else, you might want to get a longer form message into us here in Terrace Talk. We are on the emails all week, keeping track of sporting events across Kerry and the world. It's terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Feel free to get in touch. We often get listeners, exiles, former Kerry men and women abroad getting in touch with their views on different matches. Again, the use of modern technology will never fail to amuse me in this day and age, so do feel free to get in touch with the programme whenever you want. We're going across the county boundary now, but still plenty of Kerry interest. Of course, UL claimed Fitzgibbon Cup and Sigerson Cup glory in Croke Park midweek. Wednesday night, the Sigerson Cup was returning back to Limerick with the Limerick footballers, the UL footballers, and then on Friday, a mammoth performance by the Fitzgibbon Cup side to win the hurling version of the college's final, beating their close rivals in Mary Eye in a blockbuster encounter. I think I said this on Saturday with Joe on Sport. I think it was the second highest ever hurling score recorded in a competitive game, as a sort of an All-Ireland sort of, not inter-county level obviously, but at that sort of All-Ireland series level. So huge, a huge Fitzgibbon Cup final on Friday evening, given conditions and weather and everything else. But it's the football we're going to concentrate on. We're delighted to be joined by a man you know well from Terrace Talk. He's back doing his studies in UL, so not as much of late. Didn't want to be getting in the way of the projects, but had to ring a UL student after the week that was. Andrew Moynihan, Fiery's man, you're welcome to the programme. I'm sure studies have been curtailed over the last couple of days in UL, I'd imagine. There's been a fair party. A huge week for the GA club in the college.
Yeah, good evening, Ivan. Yeah, I think the celebrations are still going. I've got word today that there's a reception this Thursday from the president of UL to the students for both teams, the Fitzgibbon and the Sigerson Cup double. I suppose, as you said, the celebrations are probably still going, so maybe the books have been put aside for the last couple of days of studies as well. But what a fantastic achievement. I think the fourth ever college to do the double, and obviously a sweet for UL for a first ever Sigerson Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, look, first ever Sigerson is huge against a team like UCC, who have become so well known around the Sigerson Cup, Andrew, and the Fitzgibbon, to be fair, to Cork, and good Kerry interest in the Cork team as well. For UL, a huge achievement. And, I think the colleges, the main use of, or the knowledge of colleges used to be in the old version of the McGrath Cup and the Waterford Crystal in the hurling, when we used to see the college team come up against the inter-county team, and a lot of people would associate their knowledge of the colleges around that. But deep down, there is a huge draw for the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cup. So for UL to get their first Sigerson, a hugely, historic occasion for the college.
Without a doubt, most definitely. And, a lot of people, I suppose, in today's day and age, when you're having your split season and how the season is so condensed, it can be easy to sort of maybe dismiss these third level competitions. But you could see the celebrations from that, from the Sigerson Cup winning side last Wednesday evening, and you could see how much it means to them. You look at, players from, let's say, so-called weaker counties, maybe competing in Division 4 and the Talton Cup, there's players from Sligo, Tipperary, Clare even, the fact about it is their trips to Croke Park are very much limited in their career too. Mm-hmm. So never mind to compete in Croke Park and to win an All-Ireland final there, it's very special in that particular way as well. And it just goes to show what a competition like the Sigerson Cup can do. And from watching just the entire this season, often is the case with the Sigerson Cup that you're treated to some dire matches due to the weather conditions, obviously January, February doesn't help in that regard. But this season, the standard was absolutely fantastic. The new rules certainly have contributed to improving the competition, and it's the closest thing you will find in today's day and age to the inter-county game. Just you're looking at the bones of 12 to 13 inter-county players per team, most starters coming up against another team, and it all contributes together to some absolutely rip-roaring affairs, and it's been a pleasure to follow this UL side throughout the season.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that kind of semi-final win over Queens when we had a Kerry man getting the late goal, I think it was called Ross, was it, against Queens to bring that one to extra time. It's there is great interest, and obviously the kind of online streaming as well, Andrew, is huge, because these games are kind of oftentimes played midweek, and I know before you used to have kind of the Sigerson tournament over the weekend, but that move to Croke Park and obviously the kind of online streaming and everything, it's great to see the Cup get its no matter who wins it, it gets its kind of profile out there again, doesn't it, when you're having the big finals up in Croke Park. Obviously enough, a Wednesday and a Friday night, not ideal, but it's at the same time getting to play them inside there, massive, and people be able to watch the games on the streams as well online is massive.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was definitely, when the competition was launched back in December for this season, it was clearly a goal of Jarlath Burns to return the competition's finals to Croke Park. It's nearly 40 years since both the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cup finals were in Croke Park. And like, people might complain about the attendance. I don't think the Wednesday or the Friday suited why the doubleheader couldn't have happened. I'm not entirely sure. Mm. Obviously, there must have been a reason there. But I thought it's fantastic to go to Croke Park. And as you said, I'm envious of anyone who was able to watch it on the streams. I had to unfortunately brave the weather conditions and attend all of the UL games this season just for a project I'm doing at the minute on the Sigerson side. So it's been fantastically enjoyable. My rain jackets have certainly been put to the test over the last couple of weeks. Mind you, the opening couple of games back in January, perfect weather conditions. It seems as we've gone into the year when you should be expecting better weather conditions, it's just seemed to have gotten worse. Abbottstown versus Queens, I don't think I've ever got a stoked in my life. It took maybe one or two working days to recover from that, but all worth it in the end. And we can thank obviously the Curragh man Cathal Brosnan for that goal in the semi, kept him in the competition, and maybe Conall Dawson's two-pointer before that it'll be forgotten about, but that was a fantastic two-pointer to just leave it at 3 points. And I don't think anyone will ever forget that Cathal Brosnan goal. It's akin to a Sean O'Shea free versus Dublin 3 years ago in terms of an iconic semi-final moment to keep a team in the competition or go on to win it. UL went on to win it in extra time. Despite going up 5 points, Queens came back with a two-pointer and goal combo in the second half, but they somehow managed to find a way, UL, and it's kind of throughout the season, the story just proved so well in how they went about game by game, a bit similar to, let's say, how Dingle always found a way through extra time, late winners, late goals, late points. Very kind of sort of similar in terms of UL, that it nearly got to the final and you're thinking the story here is far too good to not go on and go all the way. But just a fantastic achievement, and you know, delighted for the lads getting to know them over the last couple of weeks. And as you said, a great Kerry contingent inside there too, which have contributed massively to this first success for UL.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm glad there now that you said it was like to Sean O'Shea's point in the against Dublin as opposed to Cork's goal during COVID against us in Parky Cueve. I like the way you used the analogy of
memory.
Yeah, exactly. That one was erased. Andrew, I suppose talk to you about the Kerry men on the panel. Obviously, enough for the final. You, Kieran Collins, scored two. You got obviously Cathal Brosnan with 2 points. He was instrumental to getting there. Tomás O'Donnell came off the bench, I think. So look, obviously we're kind of, we obviously have a good strong team and with MTU Kerry here as well, and we often see a lot of Kerry representation on UCC and kind of, I was going to say CIT, but MTU Cork teams, and never a huge amount in UL, but a couple of lads who are after winning Sigerson medals with good Kerry representation.
Yeah, without doubt, and it seems to be in the last couple of years anyway that there seems to be a lot more Kerry representation in UL. We're always talking about the whole UCK narrative in Cork at times, but in the last couple of years, definitely a lot more Kerry men representing UL. You mentioned Cathal Brosnan, fantastic in the semi and the final. Cathal Ryan as well, he dominated the midfield in the final, kicked 2 points as well. Like the fact is, Cathal Ryan, if it wasn't for Tristan O'Callaghan's goalkeeping heroics, would probably have been man of the match in that final. final. He was absolutely fantastic in the middle. You mentioned Kieran Collins from Rathmore. He was an excellent asset for the management to bring on. He was a fantastic impact sub throughout the tournament, and then so much so that it was a masterstroke by the management really to start him in the final. I don't think it was expected by UCC. He kicked 2 points. He was a fantastic target man inside, and he was just causing havoc really. Thomas O'Donnell, I suppose his Kerry commitments maybe probably curtailed the starting spot for him. He was kind of in and out, but when he was available, by God, did UL make sure that he was being used, because what a fantastic asset to have there as well. Very reliable man to bring onto the field, kicked a point in the semi and final, I'm pretty sure. And another man too, Dr. Croke's man, Mikey Lynch, just in second year, so he has another 2 years of Sigerson football, but you could see the value that the management saw in him already, so we'll be seeing plenty of Mikey in the next couple of years for the Wolves.
Yeah, I spoke to Liam O'Sullivan here last week after the Green had won the Carnivore on last Monday night's programme, Andrew, and I kind of asked him about the lads. Obviously they're youngsters kind of trying their best to you know get through school, and it's kind of hard with pressures of leaving cert and everything else, but he said that the football kind of brings them all together in that they're kind of playing for their classmates or their mm-hmm. They're kind of, I suppose, they're, you know, the fellas that they're going to school in and out with every day, and, you know, they can kind of find this, you know, a kind of a bit of an ease and kind of wanting to play for each other despite the kind of difference in club. This one kind of takes a small bit of a different mantle when it might be your first time moving out of home or whatever else into college, and you go to different colleges for different reasons. But oftentimes, a lot of these footballers are probably living in the same accommodation and everything else. There's still that sort of, I suppose, not so much school pride, but sort of representing your university is obviously massive, and a lot of these lads are on, you know, big courses and, you know, pressure with books and everything else. You might be going back playing inter-county training, not getting a game with the county or whatever it might be, but you know, there is that sort of pride of maybe the fellas you might be in lectures with, if it's PE teaching, whatever they're studying in UL. A lot of these will probably be going in and out together in the same cars, in and out of training, probably again living in the same houses. There is that sort of kind of local pride and kind of private in yourselves and your little kind of group that you want to go on and win this as well, and it's something that we often don't see.
Yeah, without a doubt. And like, it's often, I suppose, a player from Kerry might say, when will I ever get the chance to maybe play with, you know, Sligo star player or Tipperary or just like, you know, Leash, you know, like it's a unique opportunity to play with lads from other counties like that. And it's a fantastic outlet, obviously, to meet up with a few lads. And, you know, I think Davey mentioned this in the pre-match speech before the final, that look around the room, that this will never happen again, that this group, they're together there for the last time before the final, like, you know, and to just kind of soak that in. And there seemed to have been in terms of UL anyway, there seemed to be just a fantastic bond between the group. I even, like, after following them over the last couple of weeks, I'm disappointed that it's over, you know, like, there's great crack around it all. And, you know, maybe you might find it a small bit more difficult to find that kind of pride in terms of representing your college, but when you're after forming a group like that, and I thought Davey Power was fantastic, and the management, Killian Fair and Luke McCarthy as well, they were brilliant at just pushing together that group. There's Dermot Dineen too, like, and there was just a fantastic bond, I think, between all the players. And Davey made a fantastic mention to it throughout the tournaments of, like, it's not the 1-15 that will win the Sigerson Cup, it's the 1-30, it's the 1-40, any last bit you can get. And that certainly showed with the subs and how they made an impact when they came onto the field. And I think it definitely stood to them, the bond and the relationships that they built throughout the year.
Yeah, 100%. Just not to not mention our Kerry lads on the defeated UCC side, of course. You had Austin Murphy, Darrow O'Connor, Liam Evans, you had Rory Murphy, Emmett Daly, James Horgan and Cormac Dylan all started for UCC. So again, a huge Kerry interest in the UCC side as well. I know you're more following the Sigerson, Andrew, but I'm sure you were keeping track of Fitzgibbon as well. What a final on Friday night, and what a treat that if that was any intercounty game the weekend, I think we'd still be talking about it. The scoring and the level of scores in it, 5-3, it was huge, humongous scoring. I hadn't seen something like it in a long, long time, and to score 3-21, I think it was what Mary I had, and lose by 12 or 13 points is quite something. But again, another cause for huge celebration around UL.
Yeah, without a doubt. Even for Mary I, Shane O'Brien from Limerick, 1-12 he finished with. And, you know, as you said, 3-21 for Mary I, and you come out on the losing side. That can't be easy to do.
Can't happen too often.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, what a fantastic win. Back-to-back titles for UL in the Fitzgibbon. They become nearly the standard bearers over the last couple of years. And I mean, you look at the players that they have at their disposal, and the fact is would beat a plenty of inter-county teams in the hurling at the minute. You've Mark Fitzgerald at centre-back. You'd add a English and Cathal O'Neill in midfield. I mean, teams would just dream of that. Of course, Adam Screedy, Darragh McCarthy, O'Sheen O'Donoghue there at full forward. What players you have at your disposal. You look over at Mary I mentioned, Shane O'Brien's there as well, and Owen Lawless, Vince Harrington, just the players, the vast majority of these lads have become household names, never mind Fitzgibbon Cup players who would stand out in that competition. So it was if Wednesday was two maybe well rounded teams in terms of getting to the final, I think we were provided with the kind of the all star game on Friday evening in the Fitzgibbon Cup, and that certainly proved the case. 7 goals in total throughout the game. It just seemed like they were coming one after another. And of course, well done to UL there once again to be back-to-back champions. I think it's 4 of the last 5 years. Mary I would have beat him in the final in Abbey Dorney actually only a couple of years ago. So
mad change, isn't it, from Abbey Dorney to Croke Park?
it's a frightening change from that. I'm sure our Abbey Dorney listeners would be would be comparing that, but that's fantastic achievement, and as I said, it's the fourth college to do the double. I think Galway have done it once, UCD have done it a load of times, yeah. And UCC have done it as well. UCC as well. So for UL to complete it, I suppose a special few days for the extreme hard work that they have been doing here in ULGA to kind of promote over the last number of years, and obviously a first Dickerson Cup is, I suppose, a real special moment for the college.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Andrew, can you fill us in on what project you are doing around the Sigerson, or where you might be able to catch it eventually? I'm sure it's you're going to be has to give it to the lecturers first, I suppose, is it?
Yeah. So it's my final year project, and one of the options you're allowed to do is make a documentary. So I've decided, I gave Davey Power a ring back in September and said, look, if by any chance would you let me in the dressing room, go to training sessions and film the Sigerson Cup side and see how we get on. And so started filming back in December, cold nights, training and getting a few interviews with players and management, and that went into the new year. So I was at all 5 games that they played, and luckily I think I picked probably the best ever year to do it from a UL Sigerson point of view. I think a lot of lads have been saying to me, if I don't get an A1 in this final year project, that they're laughing. So look, in the process of editing it now at the minute, but that will be an absolute pleasure. I mean, it was just the luck I had, I think, to pick that this year has just been absolutely superb. So
yeah, you were born the right year in a way to get your FIP for this year. Look, Andrew, continued success, best of luck with your editing, and looking forward to have you back on the panel here when Kerry hopefully get into more serious championship business later on into May and June. But we said we'd leave you head up to UL and get your studies done first. That's the most important thing.
Super, Ivan. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Andrew. Thanks for popping on. That's Andrew Moynan there. Of course, you recognise his voice from our coverage during the summer. We said we'd give him a well-earned break to get back to UL, to college work and everything else. But he was following the Sigerson journey for UL. UL crowned Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cup champions, and a huge kudos to them on that. And that's done for another year, and everyone heading back for their studies. We're heading to Cycling next, and we'll be chatting to the press officer of the Ross Tolton, that's Grod Campbell, about his return to the kingdom a little later on this year.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you for the next, half an hour or so, up until 8 o'clock this evening. Now, the 71st edition of Ross Tolton is planned and ready for road, coming across Ireland from May 20th to 24th, including a stage right here in the Kingdom, which is fantastic to welcome back Ireland's premier cycling event, of course, a nice one to see. It's close as you get to Tour de France in Kerry, anyway, I'll put it that way. Delighted to be joined on the line by the press officer for the event, that's Gerard Campbell. Gerard, you're very welcome along. Thanks for taking the time out to chat to us this evening. Plenty of planning and everything else going in. I'd imagine you're a busy committee at the moment.
Hey, Ivan. Thanks so much for having us on. Absolutely, yeah. A very busy time of the year. We're just approaching 3 months to go, so it's all starting to get busy. But we're delighted to launch the route just last week. So we've got a great reception. And yeah, all things start moving now. You start getting interest from teams, both here domestically and internationally. And obviously, you start getting the queries from all the different agencies and that kind of stuff when they see that you're coming their way as well. But it's all very welcome. But yeah, 3 months to go. Route is announced. Lots of exciting stuff happening. Lots and lots of interest from both our stage end and stage start towns and all of the towns and villages along the way, and from the teams. So shaping up to hopefully be another very successful one.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose we'll get the Kerry interest out of the way nice and early. It's great to see it coming back to Kerry, and not only kind of coming back but starting in a Kerry town as well. You do have a grow for coming down to Kerry, which is great. We do offer a good terrain down this side of the country as well, but you're always I'd imagine you get a great welcome when you come to Kerry, and no different to cyclists. Will be feeling their legs by the time they go from Rathmore up past Kinmare, I'd imagine.
Absolutely, yes. Kerry has become, well, always was, but has become such a cycling stronghold. And, you know, we obviously tried to mix in variety, but we've naturally found ourselves just keep coming back to the kingdom. So we did a stage end in Castle Island in 2022, mm-hmm. And then we had a stage end in Sneem 2024, and then following stage start the morning after in Kinmare. So, yeah, great to start in Kerry this year. So we're starting on stage two. So that'll be on Thursday, May 21st in Rathmore. So Rathmore was somewhere that was on our horizon, mainly because of Sleep Lucre cycling club that is not all that long set up, probably certainly within the last 7 or 8 years, but has just done incredible work and gone from stride to stride, mm-hmm. since they set up, was particularly in youth cycling, and so it was great to kind of a nod to them to start in Rathmore, where they're kind of based. So but yeah, serious terrain. It's a stage that's going to be 183 kilometers long, so it's certainly going to be a very difficult one. And yeah, just the terrain, particularly as we go from kind of the fast flat main roads leaving Rathmore, and you start heading into Clongarvan, Kenmare, and then into the Caha Pass road. It's a serious mix, and it really shows who's up for the challenge.
Yeah, I think if there's any budding photographers, the Caha Pass is definitely the one to get to, with the tunnels along there. It's quite a spectacle on the best of the days, but when there's an international cycling race going through it, it's definitely going to be a sight to see. So you're starting on the Wednesday then. It's all kicking off from Portlaoise. You're doing a right tour of the country this year, kind of bringing right down this side then across kind of the southern counties and back up to finish in, I think it's Meath is that you're finishing up in. So it's quite a wide variety of counties to get across. And again, I'm sure a lot of the riders will be feeling their legs by the time they're finished the race on the 24th.
Yeah, absolutely. It's obviously not that easy to do when it's only 5 days long, but we do have transfers now every day, so we don't actually start in the same place that we finish any day, which helps us to kind of get further down or further across and then back up to where we want to finish. So, yeah, as you say, we're going from Portlaoise down to Kilmallock and Limerick, starting then stage two in Rathmore, into Bantyre in your neighbouring county. Then the following morning, we're staying in Cork and starting in Mitchelstown to go up to Enniscorthy in County Wexford. And then we're starting in Carlow both on Saturday and Sunday for stage four and stage five. Stage four goes from Carlow to Ballinclass, and stage five then from Carlow to Dunboyne. So a really nice mix, you know, to start kind of on kind of more flat, straighter kind of roads, say in Portlaoise down to obviously the terrain of the kingdom, and then start coming back up to kind of navigate through the Wicklow Mountains and on into Meath for the ultimate finish. There's a really nice mix, looking at just under 800 kilometres, so a big challenge over the 5 days. And yeah, a lot of good racing, hopefully.
What goes into the planning of the, and we could be here all night, I'd imagine, for asking you a question like this, but it must be a huge sort of the amount that goes into it. Obviously getting your teams registered, picking out the route, it's there must be a huge amount that goes in that we just don't see behind the scenes. We see cyclists passing in the space of maybe 10 to 20 seconds wherever we are, standing out the side of the road to watch them go by, and the race is gone. But it's kind of a travelling circus for 5 or 6 days on the road. But I'd imagine the, you know, what goes into this behind the scenes, it must be a year long thing, Gerard, is it?
Yeah, absolutely, Ivan. And sometimes you think to yourself, you know, are you mad when you're, you know, hiding from the day job in the bathroom trying to take a phone call or answer an email or something? But yeah, it has become, well, it always was, but it has very much become now a 12-month cycle. So as soon as you have the, you know, 1 year finished, as soon as we have the 2026 year finished, or 2026 edition finished, you'll be starting to think about 2027, about the route, and starting to look at, you know, some of the major tasks like booking the beds for our own officials. We obviously have 100 officials, so to try and get on to booking accommodation quickly, you know, and before, you know, before a lot of it is actually gone, because more so from prices, it's actually become an availability issue. Mm-hmm. And then obviously to reach out to councils and guards, and yeah, because you know, you have to have a lot of boxes ticked before you announce we're going to, you know, Kerry or we're going wherever. You obviously have to make sure that the councils and the guards are able to assist you, and then obviously that the towns themselves, because you know, sometimes with all the greatest will in the world, you know, councils might be very welcome to you, as might the guards, but sometimes towns themselves, they might want you, but sometimes it can just be logistically and very difficult or a nightmare with, you know, how busy sometimes can be with traffic or, you know, tourism or bus coaches or whatever. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it has become very much a 12-month cycle. The next 3 months will are obviously the most important, as you're trying to get all the teams signed up and, you know, but, you know, as the race director says, you look at this kind of operation on the Tuesday night before it starts, and you think, how in God's earth does this fall into place? But as he said, we've 100 officials, so if everybody does their 1%, that's how it falls into place. So we have a great team, and we obviously have a lot of kind of returning teams, both domestically and international. We know what it's all about. It's a race that has become, you know, very famous and very well liked, not just because of its history and its difficulty, but also just because of how welcoming we are, and I suppose the fact that it is obviously the bike race, but we hope that everyone comes and kind of has a bit of crack. So sometimes you think, are we mad, particularly when it's myself and the race director, we're driving through the car pass on 28th or 29th of December last year, and it was cold and wet and damp, but when you go through it in the sun, hopefully it'll be shining in May, you'll see that it's worthwhile.
The sun always shines in Kerry, Gerard. I thought you might have known that. Look, Gerard, finally, before I let you go, I suppose, obviously, it's a bit away now, so we remind listeners maybe close to the time and talk to a few of the lads entering it. But always nice to get, like, the kind of the kids out of the schools on the route passing as well, as obviously on the Thursday. You know, it's nice to get people out supported. I remember when I was younger getting brought out to see it passing through Killarney many moons ago now, but it was, you know, it's always a nice one to see it passing, and it is sort of the speed they can go on these bikes is great, and if there's kind of schools on the route, you welcome everyone to come out and spectate it as well along the way and cheer the lads on.
Absolutely, and we love to see as many people out as possible, as many schools out as possible. Obviously, it is, you know, one of the challenges is because you have so much kind of admin work in, as I say, there with the guards and councils and all the other things to make it happen. We'd love to do, you know, loads more around community engagement and schools, and but we do the very best we can, that we get flags made. We have a team on the road that will call into schools on the day, you know, an hour or so before, to give out flags, give out stickers, try and encourage them to come out. But yeah, to any you know, business, school, community organisation, anyone who can come out, please just do step out, as you said there. You know, it's a kind of travelling circus for 5 or 6 minutes, but that's all it is. It doesn't take a lot of planning to just come out for those 5 or 6 minutes. And yeah, it's just see the spectacle go by. And the people that are in it, we obviously have teams from around the world, both, you know, from people who are budding to be professional cyclists right down to very much normal working people who, you know, are probably using up their week's holidays to take on this challenge. So support means a lot from very top down to the bottom. So, yeah, it's great to see as many people out. And, yeah, we will have a community engagement team out in front, leading out flags in schools and local businesses and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, please do come out if you can on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking May, so we're a bit away yet, but no, definitely we might get you even back on, Grow, maybe in the build-up to us a week or so out, maybe, and give us a right good kind of idea where exactly they'll be turning left and right on the route. And, yeah, and maybe might get a couple of riders on. But for now, Grow, thanks very much for taking the time out to chat to us. It's great to know it's coming back to Kerry again. And best of luck with your continued planning for the event.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Thanks
for having me. Absolute pleasure. That's Grow Campbell there, involved with the Ross Talton, of course, coming back to the Kingdom again this year, which is fantastic after a breakaway last year. And great to see Ireland's international cycle race whizzing through the Kingdom on a day in May. But as I said, we'll talk plenty more about that in the next couple of weeks as well. Next up, we'll be chatting to Kerry Camogie manager John Madden. They got their Central National Camogie League underway the weekend. We might chat a bit more in detail about what we can expect from the Kerry Camogie girls this year coming. That's next.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. For any football fans out there, the draw has been made for the fifth round of the FA Cup. Of course, saw some good games at the weekend. No major giant killing to talk about. I thought West Ham were struggling away to Burton, but didn't manage that. Some of the big ones to bring your attention to is Newcastle, Man City have been drawn. Arsenal away to Mansfield, which is another big one for a Premier League team against one of the lower teams left in it. Chelsea away to Wrexham, made famous, of course, by the documentary series on Netflix. Ryan Reynolds, of course, one of the lads in charge there of Wrexham. Chelsea, the visitors to Wales for that one. Liverpool away to Wolves, and West Ham will play the winners of Macclesfield or Brentford, who are playing tonight. So some of the key ones from the fifth round of the FA Cup. But no talks about the FA Cup in the Kingdom at the moment. And the Kerry Camogie team, of course, back out in action the weekend just gone in the Centra Camogie League, drawing with Laois on the opening day. I'd like to be joined now by Kerry Camogie manager John Madden. John, great to have you back. Look, again, I suppose we talked so much last year heading into that All-Ireland and everything else, but I'd imagine great to kind of get them back out on the pitch now. I know a draw maybe not what you wanted on the opening day, but still nice to get back out and get playing Camogie again, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, it's like that. You'll be training away there up to Christmas and after it, and it's just good to get the first game out of the way and get it on the board, I suppose. Like the man says, yeah, look, we were kind of hoping to get a win, but look, we'll take the draw considering that we were down.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. And considering that you were down in that game as well. And look, John, I think always the first game back, isn't it? It's always kind of a hard one to kind of judge where you're at. It's still so early in the year. The pitches are different to what we're used to in the middle of the summer and everything, although Fitzroy Stadium in great condition. But that just this time of year doesn't lend to great Camogie either, as much as we've seen in kind of football and hurling as well. It's just that sort of time of year. But as the year ticks by, you'll be getting more and more into it.
Yeah, I suppose, look, at this time of the year, pitches are heavy, places are, you know, that bit heavier, like in Inverness, which I'll say it was in great condition the last day. But yeah, it's just, it makes a bit more dogged, and since Saturday was so cold and a bit wet as well and damp and dreary, so it just makes it that bit harder, I suppose. But like that, as the year goes on and the weather gets better, you kind of, the dry sod appears again and you kind of go more at it again.
Talk to me a small bit about what you have available to you this year, John, I suppose, as opposed to just going by game in the league. We kind of look ahead to the year ahead. Obviously, see kind of some of the household names are still there. Patrice scoring 8 points for you the weekend. Jackie Horgan there. And, of course, Danielle O'Leary. Great to have her back as well. Of course, Kerry ladies footballer.
Yeah, look, we've Danielle and we've Catherine Ryan there as well, two dual players at the moment. But yeah, big plus in Danielle there. Had a great game for us last Saturday. She got 3 points from play. And just her experience and just her physical presence inside the full forward line led to a lot. And look, as you said, a lot of the rest of them are kind of the same household names: Patrice, Jackie, Sarah Murphy. I could go on, I could name them all, but yeah, they've been there for a long time. So yeah, and then we've Laura Collins came in this year as well with Nora Casey, and we've Orla Leahy from Parnells. So there's a good blend of experience there and people that have come back that were out for maybe a year or two when Orla's first year inside with the panel. So yeah, it's exciting times again.
Yeah, a good mix of kind of, as you say, the old and the new, if you want to call it that, John. It's great to see the buy-in, you know, still there, and that kind of hunger still there for Kerry to do well at Camogie. We've seen, you know, do so well with the different clubs, and you know, we've been chatting about that in the past year as well in Terrace Island, Clarny, and everything else. It's great to see the sport kind of take on a life of its own in the county as well, which is huge for you, and kind of, I wouldn't say it makes your job easier, but you know, to see kind of what the clubs are doing and getting the girls out playing Camogie from a young age, it helps to that buy-in when you get to senior level, that there, you know, there's a kind of a pride in the Kerry Camogie jersey as well to go out and get the best results possible for the kingdom.
Yeah, it is. Like, look, you see the clubs there, you've kind of the established, you've Tom Morris, Causeway, Killard, like, that are there for a few years, and then you've Sleeve Lucre, you've Trinity Parnells, you've Killarney, and then lately you've Clonvara down in Kinmare as well, a new club, fledgling club, starting off there last year. So it was great, like, it's great to see that, and even last Saturday in Killarney, there was good support there, like, do you know, so it's great to bring that game to Killarney as well, because for all the people out that side of the county, we'll say it's great for them to be able to see it as well, and it's not always in Tralee and the whole lot, so like there was good support there as well the last day, so it's great for all the young ones to be able to, you know, go to the games like that and see the established players out in the field.
Yeah, I think they called it, you have to see it to be it, a couple of years ago, and I don't think that could be any more true. And being able to play the game even in the likes of Fitzgerald Stadium, that's a huge plus for even your new girls coming in as well. I remember when I was younger, any chance we got to play in Fitzgerald Stadium was always a massive one. I know it's a huge ground, but it's that sort of a, I wouldn't say you kind of made it stage, but when you get out in Fitzgerald Stadium, it's that sort of big environment around you, lovely dressing rooms and everything. It's the top, really, the biggest GA facility in the county. So for the Camogie girls to be able to go out there as well, that's kind of another special one to take off the list. Even though, you know, you've been to Crow Park last year, but just from a local perspective and getting that, the use of the pitch is important.
Oh, it is, yeah, like that's the big thing we have this year, like, in fairness, like, to the county board, the GA board, they're very, very good to us, like, and we've got Fitzgerald Stadium, and then we've Carlow and Westmeath in a few weeks' time, and we've both of them in Ostensack Park as well. So it's great for the girls to be playing in the county grounds. Do you know, we've always, in fairness, the clubs in our care and everywhere else have been great to us as well, to give us feels down the year. But it's nice to get the recognition that you play in the county grounds, like the Ostensack Park and Fitzgerald Stadium. It isn't often now you get a chance to play in Fitzgerald Stadium, but it's fabulous to be able to play there, like.
Yeah, no, 100%, and a good positive one for going forward. John, I have to take a quick break, but what we might do is when we come back, we might have a look at the remainder of this league campaign, and of course, a big championship coming up for you as well. We have to take a small break, and we'll be back to you in just a second.
Perfect. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're welcome back to the programme. We're in the midst of our chat with Kerry Camogie manager John Madden. John, I suppose just looking at the Division 2A, so obviously you've Leash played, so the two Meads, you've Westmead and Mead and Derry and Carlow. It all stems for a good test heading into what will be a good intermediate championship again this year, but no doubt you're fighting for league honours first, and that's first and foremost in your priority list, I'd imagine.
Yeah, like, look, you'd kind of, as you say, you kind of take it one game at a time. We've met now this Saturday, I think, up in Trim, so not going to be an easy game either, and they had a good win there over Westmeath last weekend, so they'll be chomping at the bit as well. So I suppose, like, that you're kind of taking it one step at a time, but yeah, they're all tough teams, isn't it? Like Carlow, Westmeath and Derry, like, they're all good teams, so the league is going to be no easy win either, but look, we've got to try and go out and win every game. I suppose that's what you can do, and then aim on for the championship, and then after that.
We often say here when we talk about the Kerry football team and stuff, that it's kind of a chance to blood in players. Do you see that with the Camogie League as well, or is it kind of a, you want to see what your best starting 15 is, or is it a chance to give girls a run out and see what they do? Do you use it kind of to experiment a small bit, or is it kind of a mix of both really throughout the full campaign?
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of a mix of both. You're kind of trying to see what you have and who's performing and things like that. And look, kind of take it from training and you know, training games in house and things like that, to see who's going well at the time, and maybe mix it up a small bit then as well, and take players in and out, and hopefully just get a few players back from injuries as well, that you can get them into the squad, like, so to drive it on, like. And look, competition is the main thing, like, even if you have competition in the squad, it's great for everybody, because it really drives everyone on. If there's someone over jumping at the bit behind your shoulder wanting to get on the panel as well, wanting to get on the team, and
Yeah, no, most definitely. And looking at the fixtures, you only have kind of 1 week off. It's fairly rapid. It's later starting than the ladies football and the men's leagues as well. It's kind of a later start and nearly a quicker finish. So it's kind of a sprint finish. It's just 1 weekend off, I think, you have in the Division 2A. It's fairly frantic stuff, but again, probably good to get that sort of momentum behind you as well before that championship.
It is, yeah. Like I think over the space of 4 weekends, there'll be 4 games in a row. So it's pretty fast on. You don't want to be getting too many injuries and things like that in the games because there isn't much time to turn around. And I think it's around Petty's weekend. We have a weekend off, and then we have the Derry game, the last one on the 21st of March. And then I think there's 2 or 3 weeks to the league final if you were to get that far, the 11th of April. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty fast on there. And then, you have the break then going into the championship. I think the championship starts out in May, June. So it's, yeah. It's fairly full on.
Just trying to avoid your injuries, obviously, to kind of keep exactly. Everyone playing. Look, the championship, it's a small bit away, but obviously, look, you'll obviously want to go one better than last year, John, and I hate kind of bringing up last year to you, but, you came so close last year, and it might be unfair enough for you to say that no one really even expected Kerry to get to an intermediate final. You might have said different yourselves, but, great to see Kerry get there, again at this level, and, it has to be kind of on the back of your mind to try go that one better without trying to put any pressure on you, but obviously getting to Croke Park huge, but is that kind of on the back of your head that's kind of maybe want to say not right or wrong is probably the wrong way to put it, but sort of wanting to go out and prove yourselves again this year?
Yeah, I suppose, look, when you get to finals like that, you always want to win them, and unfortunately it didn't go that way last year, but I suppose that's kind of in the back of our minds for a lot of us that we said we go again and give it another crack this year. And look, by no means it's not going to be easy, but because we've Down, Antrim and Derry, that's who we're playing, so three Northern teams, three good tough teams, so it's not going to be easy, but yeah, look, you have to be kind of setting yourself out that you want to get there again and hopefully go that one step better, but that is not as easy just to say it like that. It'll take a lot of work to get there as well.
Yeah, what are the girls' attitudes after last year as well, John? I mean, they're obviously hungry for success as well. Are they kind of, is there talking amongst the group that, we need to aim, to go one better this year, or has it been kind of taken game by game as well?
Taking game by game more, I'd say, than anything else. But yeah, look, it's probably there in the back of their minds that they were in the final last year. And look, better Offaly team probably on the day that got the result. But yeah, it is, I'd say, in the back of their minds as well that, look, to get there was one thing, but to be nice to get there and actually walk up the steps for the next time. So I'd say, I suppose it's not really spoken about, but it's probably in the back of a lot of people's minds, all right, to try and go that one step more.
As disappointed as it was when we were chatting to you below the Cusick stand that day in Croke Park, John, that experience I'm sure will stand massively to the girls as well, that getting to that kind of final at intermediate level. I know a lot of them have been there with Clanmorris and the juniors up in the past, but to get to an intermediate final in Croke Park, especially for some of the newer girls that were in last year as well, that'll be a huge step for them going into this year.
Oh, it is, yeah. Look, it's a great it was a great experience to get up there, get to Croke Park to see it. When you walk out in that stadium, it's a vast stadium when you're out in the middle of the field there looking around the place. And look, it'll be an experience for the girls. Look, there's a lot of the younger ones there on the panel that went last year. And look, a lot of Clanmorris girls who kind of have been there a few times, and a lot of the older, we'll say, members of the squad would have been there with juniors and things, but it's the intermediate to get up there. And I suppose it was an experience to be there and to take from it, I suppose, and to take the learnings from it. That's the big thing for the year ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. John, we're out of time. Thanks very much for taking the time out to chat to us, and we wish you every success with the remainder of the league campaign. We might get some of the girls in here later on, maybe between the league and the championship as well, to catch up with them. But for now, thanks very much, John.
Thanks a million, Ivan.
No, absolute pleasure. John Madden there, manager of the Camogie team. Of course, drew 11 points apiece with Leash, but looking forward to a big year ahead for them, especially in the league, which is underway, as I said, since the weekend. Thanks to everyone who partook in tonight's programme, to John Kennedy, Andrew Moynihan, Grod Campbell, and of course to John Madden. We'll do it all again next week after the Kerry Hurlers, ladies footballers and men's footballers all out in action next weekend. We look forward to a busy Terrace Talk next Monday night. Thanks to Alan, who was on sound this evening. Mary Conroy is up next with Talk Sus, and I'll be back next Monday evening from 6 o'clock. So long before.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.